happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh, come on. Go bring your good friends too, 'cause it's getting nearer, it soon will be with you. Come and join the living, it's not so far from you. And it's getting nearer, soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, peace train, peace train. Now I've been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause I'm on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Mystic Pete here with a show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. It just turned Hanukkah. And thank you, Ernesto, for another great Serenata de Trios. We love your show every Sunday night from 6 to 7. And then I come on with this talk show. I have a couple of great guests in studio. This is Cat Stevens in the background. And Amal Sardasai suggested this tune by Cat Stevens. And she's from a mediator's center at the Loyola Law School. And I also have Janet Grunfest here in studio. So I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves and tell the public all about this really wonderful center that helps people resolve problems in a peaceful way. But Amal, why don't you go first?
Thank you, Mystic Pete. We're so excited to be here today. So a little bit about the Loyola Center for Conflict Resolution, or as we lovingly call it, the LCCR. We've been serving the people of Los Angeles for more than 30 years. It was founded in 1993 with a simple purpose: to provide free or low-cost community mediation conflict resolution services to those people who live and work in LA County, and of course to train our wonderful students at Loyola Law School to provide those services to the community as well.
Beautiful. And Janet, tell us a little about yourself.
So I've been at the LCCR for 7 years now. I came back to mediation in lieu of going back to practicing law, which I did many years ago.
So what area were you in?
I did insurance defense law.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm better suited for mediating, I think, than for attorney work.
You're a professional mediator.
I am now.
A big change from the adversarial positions of your past. Yes, that most people know law to be.
That's right. Yeah. So when you have a case and you're in the court system, obviously there's going to be a winner and a loser determined by the judge or the jury. But in mediation, we work to understand the parties' issues and what it is that they want to see happen. And we help the parties communicate with each other. As mediators, we're neutral third parties, so we don't take anybody's side. We don't give legal advice. Our obligation is really to help them communicate effectively and come to agreements that they come up with. So it's a very personal process where they're helping themselves resolve their disputes with our help.
I was in law for many years myself as a legal consultant, and I had some training in what we called it alternative dispute resolution, ADR, which includes arbitration, mediation. Yes, it's a very important field and a mature field, a mature way to resolve problems.
I agree with you.
Although it's a little bit more in the news because one branch of it gets exploited when you're forced to sign arbitration contracts to like get a credit card. And then when something goes wrong, you have to go to an arbitration. You can't go to court. It limits your rights. You can't go to court to take on your company. You have to go to their arbitrator, and it's usually decided on in their favor. But this is a whole like a kind of different topic than we're getting into tonight.
Yes, arbitration is where an arbitrator makes a decision on the case based upon hearing all the evidence. Mediators, we don't make decisions for anybody. We help the parties communicate effectively to understand, you know, what it is that they want, and we help them come together towards an agreement that works for both of them. So there isn't really a winner and a loser. Everybody goes away with a little something when you mediate.
Mediating, right.
Yeah.
People may have heard of this area through arbitration agreements that they're forced to sign. I just kind of wanted to lay out the general roadmap here. But arbitration can be exploited, but even arbitration can be a very valuable way to resolve problems when you don't want to go through the whole court process. Everybody is choosing it. You come up with arbitrators together, and that maybe help you avoid thousands, tens
expensive
of thousands,
litigation.
Millions of dollars, and get it done quickly. Yeah. Or you hire a private judge or something like that. But so we're going to concentrate tonight on mediation.
That's what we do.
Okay. So then the next little piece of it is sometimes people who go to court or small claims court will be given an opportunity to mediate with one of the court mediators. That's not exactly what you do. You're kind of off in a little bit of a direction. So explain that part of it. So we're narrowing in now.
Yeah. So our clinic is located at Loyola Law School, and we're staffed with about 9 mediators. And then every semester, we have up to about 15, 20 students that take our mediation classes and work in our clinics. We can't do our work without the students. It's very hands-on. And our process of mediation is we are neutral third parties. Mediation is a voluntary process. So if one party contacts us and would like to mediate, and we reach out to the other party, if they're not interested, then that's the end of their mediation. Mm-hmm. But if they are, then we're able to help them mediate. Mediation is a confidential process. So anything that's said or written during mediation cannot be used at a later court hearing or administrative hearing. There are some exceptions to what we can mediate. We mediate civil cases. We cannot mediate any criminal cases.
So if it's a drug bust or a murder, this is not the people you're going to be seeing.
Right.
But let's just briefly go through the general areas that you do work with.
Okay. We deal with a lot of landlord-tenant areas where there are evictions or something needs to be done in the unit or tenant issues with each other. We also do a lot of consumer debt cases. You're a debtor if you owe money to somebody either by using a credit card or maybe seeing a doctor or purchasing merchandise. And if you stop making your payments, the creditor is going to come after you with collections or a lawsuit. So we help the debtors and creditors work out payment arrangements or exchange information to try to resolve it so that the debtor does not have a judgment against them. We do a lot of family-related cases. So we help parties who are getting a divorce. We help parties in guardianship matters where there's a temporary guardian watching the children and other family members would like to try to get some visitation time or work to get permanent guardianship. We work with a lot of people who are not represented by lawyers. So they come in and we just help facilitate whatever their issues are. We help, and during COVID especially, we helped with a lot of neighbor disputes. A lot of people were living at home and working from home, and there were a lot of disputes around that. We are working with a lot of people who have been involved in some automobile accidents, and they're trying to just communicate with their insurance company to exchange information.
We also have the Collaborative Family Law Clinic, which is in collaboration with the Los Angeles Collaborative Family Law Association. And that's a really unique clinic that we have at LCCR because it brings together collaborative family law, which is attorneys, mental health professionals, as well as financial experts in a collaborative practice. And what this means really is that you have two teams, but the teams work together. And so one represents one party that wants to get divorced and the other team represents the other party that wants to get divorced. But really, they work together as one whole team to kind of bridge the gap and bridge any kind of miscommunication and guide both parties towards a amicable divorce.
It seems like in a mature society, this is how most disputes would get resolved. The legal system right now is extremely difficult, dysfunctional, expensive. And it's good for, you know, the privileged few who are rich, then you can get good representation. But if not, how do you solve problems that are really sticky and difficult? And people, well, family law, neighbor disputes, emotions get very heated. People, you know, ego and pride gets involved and honor and standing up for justice. But to have a clear-headed intermediary who can guide you to calm solutions where everybody comes out ahead and not, you know, make things worse. This is just like basic wise society stuff.
Yeah. And we help people no matter where they are in the process. So some people come to us without filing a lawsuit, just wanting to work out an issue. Some people contact us once they've been served with a lawsuit, and other people contact us after a judgment has been entered against them to help them figure out how they can, you know, take care of the matter so that the judgment won't be on their credit for 10 years.
And through this process, people really learn communication styles, but how to better communicate with each other, because we've noticed that a lot of our parties, there is a lot of miscommunication. And when you bring them into a room and you spend sometimes an entire day with them speaking and facilitating their mediation, they really learn different types of communication skills. And a lot of those misunderstandings get resolved in that one room.
So sometimes it's just communication.
Yes.
And when you slow things down, practice some nonviolent communication, people listening to each other, and perhaps seeing the humanity of that other person who you've who's an enemy in your mind, and then you can start finding some middle ground, some compassion. Well, I can give this if you okay, and then it kind of works out.
Yes, it's a path going forward. That's really what it is that we wish for all our parties, a new path going forward. And they take these communication styles and they implement them to all aspects of their lives.
Well, tell you what, let's take a little musical break. It is Hanukkah. I want to celebrate the evening. It just started a few minutes ago. And this is a piece by, this is a fun piece by Adam Sandler. Not a lot of Hanukkah music out there, but here we go.
Okay. This is a song that, there's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and, not too many Hanukkah songs, so wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is Festival of Lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need deck the halls or jingle bell rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrate Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is, well, he's not, but guess who is? All three Stooges. So many Jews are in showbiz. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Hope I get a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really wanna go, have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
Well, I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, the dreidel I shall play. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, the dreidel I will play.
It has a lovely body, with legs so short and thin, and when it gets all tired, it drops. cops and I will win.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of play. And when it's dry and ready, then dreidel I will play.
My dreidel is so playful, it loves to dance and spin. A happy game of dreidel, come play now, let's begin.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of play. And when it's dry and ready, then dreidel I will play.
Hanukkah, oh, Hanukkah, Hanukkah, yeah. Hanukkah, oh, Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with and latkes to eat. And while we are dancing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Hey! Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with and latkes to eat. And while we are dancing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the hora. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Dreidels to play with and latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago.
KXLU 88.9 FM and LA, KXLU.com, all around the world. Mystic Pete here with the Mystic Pete Chronicles. And I have in studio Janet Grundfest and Amal Sardesai. Hi, Amal.
Hello, that's perfect.
Okay, and we just heard music by Jack, working backwards, Jack Black, Bare Naked Ladies, and Adam Sandler in honor of Hanukkah. And, you know, the Hebraic people have a long history of, being interested in law. And, you know, I don't know if anybody's heard of the Ten Commandments. They're in the Bible or something like that. You know, so law obviously is important to all of us, and finding ways to find justice is crucial to a functioning society. And both of you women are doing that with the Loyola. You're supposed to say the name of the center.
Loyola Center for Conflict Resolution.
Boom! There we go. Yeah. Well, so let's talk a little bit more about the center, and I'm going to have you do a PSA. A legit PSA to give everybody the information so they can find it if they need mediation.
That sounds great. Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about what is mediation exactly and why LCCR. So for those wondering, mediation is a conversation. Two people in a dispute sit down with a neutral third person, the mediator, who helps guide the discussion that leads to a mutually acceptable agreement. At the end of the day, it is a conversation between two people trying to reach an agreement. There are a lot of advantages to a mediation. It's faster, it's voluntary, it's less expensive, it keeps people out of court, and the parties themselves and not a judge make the decisions. And plus, like Janet mentioned, it is confidential. So first, what does all this mean? So instead of going to court, both parties come to our office. It's more comfortable. It's less intimidating environment. We sit in a nice conference room and speak about the issues at hand. Second, the mediator, us, we're completely neutral. That means we don't take sides and we don't represent either party and we don't give any legal advice. Third, cost is never a barrier. So no one is ever turned away because they can't afford it. And for those who can pay, we use a sliding scale. That is given if one of your, if your case does fit into our parameters that Janet did mention, which is mostly civil matters. And then, of course, mediation is built on self-determination. People in the dispute decide how the conflict will be resolved, and the mediator just guides the conversation along.
I think I'm beginning to understand. It sounds like a process that a mature society would use regularly to take care of disputes. I mean, yeah. Kind of obvious, and you guys are the ones doing it. Well, you want to do your PSA, then people can find out how to contact you. Yes. So here it is, a legit PSA, public service announcement.
Do you have a conflict with your landlord, a neighbor, a collection agency, or are going through a divorce? Do you want to resolve a dispute without having to go to court? The Loyola Center for Conflict Resolution has neutral mediators who can help you resolve these disputes. Their services are free to any person who qualifies and will never be denied to any person who cannot afford to pay. Don't hesitate, mediate. Their number is 213-736-1145. That number again is 213-736-1145.
Well done.
Well done.
Mystic Pete, did you want to hear maybe an example of one of our cases?
Yeah, well, I think that's a great idea. You are one of the people who mediate professionally, and you're going through this regularly. So let's have a case study. Let's okay. you'll
so typically,
tell us.
Typically what happens is one party to the dispute will call us and share with us their conflict and who the other parties are and what it is that they want. And then we would reach out to the other party and invite them to our process, explain the mediation process to them, indicate that the other party contacted us and wants to mediate. So I thought I'd give you an example of one of our landlord-tenant cases. So
this is a
real
one.
Case
yeah.
that we mediated.
Beautiful.
So in this situation, there were two young tenants that moved into an apartment, and shortly after they moved in, I think about a month or two later, a major construction project began across the street. And one of the tenants was studying for the bar exam and was studying from home and heard construction work all day long. And they also had some other issues with the apartment. They had shipped all of their furnishings from across country and then realized that what the advertised square footage was for the unit was not what the actual square footage was. And so they had to move some of their belongings into storage. And there was also an issue about what utilities were covered under the lease agreement. And the tenants were not happy with the way the gardener took care of the property. And the landlords felt that all of the issues brought up by the tenants weren't actual legal claims that would be viable if they were in court. They owned the property that the tenants were living in. They didn't own the property across the street where the construction was. You know, why should they be responsible for that? And so we sat down with the parties for a mediation. And the way we mediate is we mediate in pairs. So I had a co-mediator. And each party had the opportunity to give a little opening statement. And we went back and forth on each issue and learned during separate sessions. Sometimes we break out from the entire mediation and we'll talk to one party at a time. That's called a caucus. And during caucus, we learned that the landlords, even though they didn't think there was any legal responsibility to the tenants, that they would be happier if the tenants left. And then in talking to the tenants, it seemed that they were also opening themselves up to leaving the property maybe before the lease end if it worked out between both sides. And we went back and forth with monetary amounts that the landlord was willing to give the tenants for them to move out on a specific date. Some of that money would cover the expenses for their storage and, you know, some of the some of what they had to pay out because of the square footage issue. And the case resolved, and it never went to court, and both sides seemed quite happy.
So then what's the mechanics once it's mediated? Do you put it in writing?
If the parties want, we can put the agreement in writing, and there's special mediation language that we use so that if in the future the parties need to go to court for some reason about this, that the agreement satisfies them being able to submit it to court. Because remember, mediation is confidential. So anything that we put down on the agreement we write for them is going to contain confidential information. So we include special language that indicates the parties may in the future want to submit the document to the court.
So just clarify. So what you end up writing is a legally binding contract, in a sense.
Or yes.
Then they have to go to court to enforce it.
They would have to go to court. That's
if somebody, right. If somebody bails on their side.
And it's not admissible evidence until the judge determines that they will take that as evidence. It's that the parties anticipate and want it to be admissible at court. But ultimately, the judge determines what evidence is admissible. But we have not had any parties come back to us to say our agreement was rejected.
In court?
That's right.
Well, I mean, have you had parties go to court because one side didn't fulfill their obligations?
Well, in certain cases, You end up in court anyway. For example, divorce cases. The state has to grant you a divorce. So you have to file paperwork to request the divorce. Then you come to our office and we help the parties mediate whatever their divorce issues are. Is there real property to be divided? Is there going to be a deferred sale of the house? Is one party going to buy out the other party? What are the personal properties that you have? The furnishings of the house, artwork, collections. We go through with them their debts so that they can divide the debt up. We go through their retirement funds so that that's divided up equally as well. So we speak about all the issues and put it on paper for them. And then they submit their divorce mediation paperwork to the court. And they're saying to the judge, we've solved these issues. So we want you to know what we've solved so that you can make it part of your court order. The judge is still going to go through it to make sure that, you know, both parties are leaving on an equal footing. I think the state has an interest in the parties being able to divide their what they have evenly so that nobody will be relying on the court. And so that's
how justice happens, right? They want something fair.
Yes.
Is that mandatory mediation? In other words, is the court in divorce cases sending people to mediate? That's mandatory mediation, right?
Well, it's the court can order the parties to mediation, but they can't order the parties to come to an agreement. So they come to us to mediate, and they'll mediate as many of the issues as they can. Sometimes they can't get all the issues. Sometimes there isn't an agreement on spousal support or child support. And so those issues will be left up to the court.
to whatever can be solved peacefully, good. But sometimes you have probably just belligerent parties who want to do the other side dirt. So, yeah. I mean, you know.
It's an emotional process.
It is. It's intense.
Even for non-family related cases, you know, that it's nerve-wracking. It's difficult being a litigant, you know, in a case. It's very stressful. You know, you go through a lot. So mediation, it takes the temperature down a little bit, and we keep the parties together as much as possible to help them work through what their issue is, especially if there's a continuing relationship between the parties after the mediation or after the case is resolved. You're going to still have children together that you have to parent. You have a continuing relationship. Maybe a tenant is still going to stay in the apartment. They're going to have a continuing relationship with their landlord. Maybe it's a workplace dispute or between two coworkers who have to continue working together. So we help them, talk about what happened in the past and come up with a better form of communication moving forward.
Well, Amal, you were talking about how this is partially an educational process. You're teaching people how to communicate. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Well, I think that especially in divorce cases, which all our mediations are voluntary, of course, so that also goes in divorce cases, but relationships moving forward, and anytime there's been a contentious relationship and communication has not been a strong suit, we try to give them the tools through a lot of it, through example, why they feel like they haven't been heard on certain issues, or what are their certain wants, what are their certain needs, and to effectively communicate that. It is through a mediator in this instance, but through our process, they learn how to communicate more effectively. And I also wanted to point out that our center does have community mediation programs as well, once a semester. Our next one is scheduled in March. So this is a 6-day training where our wonderful director, Sarah Campos, leads the community mediation trainings, and she teaches effective forms of communication, and people take that back to their everyday lives, to their professions. We had one individual recently who was interested, who worked in HR, and she wanted to learn how to better communicate. So that's one of the tools that we really have at LCCR to really teach better communication skills and to use them at any point in your life, professionally or I would say even personally.
Well, let's leave the audience with something. Give us the short lesson. Just go through the entirety of learning how to communicate better with any person, business, relationship, corporate, all of it.
Well,
you got 30 seconds.
Oh my goodness. It's a 6-day course. Oh no.
It was a long walk. Okay.
Well, I would say one thing that I try to take in my personal and professional life is active listening. And that is to, you know, repeat back what you've heard, make sure that you're understanding everything that is being said, clarify, and proceed from there, because a lot of miscommunication does come from a person not feeling like they've been heard. And if you repeat back what you believe the issue is, and the person on the other side knows that you are trying to understand what it is that they have to say, what they have to communicate, and you're understanding it and you want to understand it, then the conversation does lead in a more positive way.
So when you say repeating back, we're so used to sticking up for our position and cutting the other person off to say, but no. So there's an argument happening.
Right.
And you're slowing things down. And then the person who just heard has to say back what they think they heard.
Yes.
And then the person talking will say, yeah, except blah, blah, blah. and they'll get that little piece correct.
The mediators do a lot of the repeating, mm-hmm. right?
So in the mediation.
In the mediation. So initially, when the first party speaks, we ask them to speak directly to us as mediators. That brings the temperature down in the room. And then when we repeat, we're also able to soften some language if it was a bit abrasive. So that brings the temperature down too. So we get information from them so that we can then outline the issues between the party. And then we do the same thing with the other side. They speak directly to us. Mm-hmm. We repeat to make sure that we understand how they see the situation, because again, our obligation to both parties is the same. And then we find out what that party wants. And then through that process, we start bringing them together.
I think that's very unique in our program at LCCR. When individuals do come into our mediation room, we start out by them addressing the mediators and speaking to the mediators directly, even though the other party that they are trying to communicate is with, they're in the room. But that's a very unique thing, because tensions are high oftentimes when they do come in, and this is a way to soften the experience. Don't you, and the other person doesn't feel like they're on the other side of the issue. The mediators in the middle to neutralize.
So they're coming at it trying to prove their point, and they have their whole list of grievances. But if you're the one listening, and you're not forcing the other party to repeat back.
Exactly.
Well, like in couples therapy, I think that's a little bit more of the technique to get mm-hmm. the other spouse or boyfriend or whatever to say back, so they learn how to do that active listening. But you're approaching it a little differently. Mm-hmm. You have a very specific goal, and that's to solve this situation, not necessarily to teach people how to be better moral people in the world for the rest of their lives. Why don't we hear a little bit more Hanukkah music, and then we will get right back to the interview.
Thank you. both of us above.
This is KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, KXLU.com all around the world. Mystic Pete here with the Mystic Pete Chronicles. And I have two guests in studio today. Amal.
Sorry to say.
Janet Grunfest. And you are both with Loyola Center for Conflict Resolution, LCCR. By the way, that was the Klezmer Conservatory, Dance Me to the End of Love, and then the Klezmatics with a song about a dreidel, but a little Klezmer music. Amal, talk to me.
Well, yes, I also wanted to mention that we are a teaching clinic. Janet did mention that we have 15 to 17 students a semester, and those students work directly with our mediators, mediating as well as conciliating. Conciliating is mediating over the phone, not in person, but our students are trained at the beginning of every semester, and they work on real cases, and they're supervised by our mediators, which is a very unique experience. And actually, I have to say, that's where I got my start and my love for mediation itself.
Who was your supervisor, Amal?
Janet was one of my supervisors.
She did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
And now you're back. Isn't that something?
Yes, full circle. And I'm proud to be back and proud of the work that the center does and the impact that it has on our Los Angeles community. It's really remarkable.
So this is a teaching center at Loyola Law School associated with the Loyola Marymount University that we are broadcasting from here in Westchester. And you teach people and you help the community.
Yes.
Sounds like a good program.
And our students have a direct impact on the community with their mediations and conciliations. And they see the real impact that their work has every day, which is a remarkable experience.
Mm. Well, can I get you to do your PSA one more time?
Oh, yes, of course. So, do you have a conflict with your landlord, a neighbor, a collection agency, or are going through a divorce? Do you want to resolve a dispute without having to go to court? The Loyola Center for Conflict Resolution has neutral mediators who can help you resolve these disputes. Their services are free to any person who qualifies and will never be denied to any person who cannot afford to pay. Don't hesitate. Mediate. Their number is 213-736-1145. That number again is 213-736-1145. Thank you. I also wanted to mention that we have a mediator in residence program, which is essentially where one of our mediators, one of our senior mediators, goes out into the community and meets with individuals who have conflicts that they want to resolve. So one in particular is at the Pasadena Senior Center. We have a representative there once a month. It's the third Thursday, I believe, of every month. It's on our website. Individuals have the opportunity to meet with a mediator face to face, which is a different experience altogether. I find that a very unique experience because it's nice to sit across a table rather than pick up a phone sometimes to get that personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is really part of the maturation of society, where we find better ways to resolve problems. It starts with learning how to communicate better, but also legal systems that de-escalate that are available to anyone and really seek to solve problems in society. And unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, what we have right now is a system that often penalizes the vulnerable and prioritizes those people with funds, and sometimes is used just to punish someone. I mean, even in divorce cases, sometimes you want to drag them through the mud, and in all kinds of ways it's used and abused. I will say, though, that internationally, I think our legal system is very good. You know, some countries, you're bribing some. You have to make a payoff to get any kind of justice. I think, generally speaking, we have a very good legal system, but we're going to make it better with the help of people like you.
We try. We are also out in the community on the second Wednesday of every month between 3:30 and 6:30 at the Van Nuys Branch Library on consumer debt cases. We're there with another organization, Neighborhood Legal Services. They're able to give legal advice and help parties respond to the complaints that they were served with. And we can do intakes with the parties if they know the debt is theirs and they want to try to resolve it out of court without going to trial.
Janet, can I get you to tell one more story?
Sure. I'm going to share with you about a party that called us who was involved in an automobile accident. He is a senior citizen, and he was on Social Security, and he wanted to bring in a little bit of additional money. So he was participating as a driver for one of the food delivery apps. While he was driving, he opened up the app on his phone to see what neighborhood needed drivers. He was not picking up an order, nor was he delivering an order. He just had the app open, and he was then involved in a three-car accident. He hit a car in front of him, and that car hit the car in front of them. So he reached out to us because those two drivers, their insurance companies paid out on their claims to those two drivers, and they were seeking reimbursement from the party that contacted me since he was the cause of the accident. So he had a lot on his plate, and he was just trying to earn a little bit extra money. So we reached out to the insurance companies and learned from his own insurance company that he was working at the time and that he was not covered for that, to be using his vehicle for employment. And so he was not covered for the accident. I then reached out to the food driving app company, who came to the opposite determination. They said, your app was open, therefore, and you weren't delivering food, nor were you picking up food. So we're not going to cover you for the accident. So here he had two policies of insurance that were not going to cover him because the app was open. And so our next step was to talk to the insurance companies that were trying to get money from him. And we worked out a payment plan for one of the matters, which had a hefty price tag on it. And then he was able to pay a reduced lump sum for the other insurance company. And he seemed very happy with the result, even though it was an unfortunate scenario for him.
And you guys helped. Look at that. Wow. Could have been years of stress and lots of
and
money.
And no lawsuit. So there was no lawsuit as a result of that.
Amazing. Closing statements, and then we're going to turn it over to Pat with Alien Air. Our hour went very quickly.
Thank you for having us. A bucket list checked off.
Yeah, radio. Community radio. Yes. Amal.
Thank you so much for your time and for all your listeners for spending their evening with us today. And as a parting gift, we have something for you to fold you into our LCCR family.
I've been coveting this present here.
It's a Hanukkah present.
Oh my God, too. Look at this. Oh, look at that beautiful shirt. Loyola Center for a Conflict Resolution. Yay! Wow.
Thank you, Mystic Pete.
Thank you so much, Janet Grunfest and Amal Sardesai.
Amal Sardesai.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming. We'll try this again. There's more to say, I think. Here, let's go out with a little bit of a redemption song.
Merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs.
You're listening to KXLU at LMU, 88.9 FM, Los Angeles.